seat. Welcome to Grace Fellowship. It's good to see everybody here. Happy Mother's Day. Mothers, we cherish you. My mom's here today. I'm honored about you being here. The prayers of a mother are really, really effective. And just to encourage you out there, if you've been in a time in your life where you're praying for your children, you know, trust the Lord, because He does do amazing things. He turns people's hearts and brings them back. When I was growing up, I wasn't always, you know, walking with the Lord, and my mom prayed faithfully, and we've seen just the work of the Lord, and I believe, you know, in a huge part that's a big key point in it. You know, so mothers, don't lose heart. Be encouraged. God is powerful, mighty, and able to save. We're following through the Battle Ready series here with the armor of God. Aaron started it out. Today we're going to be talking about feet fitted with readiness. You know, and then just kind of going back to some of these stories when I was a kid, you know, I was a little bit of a just kind of, I don't know. I spent most of my time with no shoes, just kind of bumming around, you know, in the summer. When I first got out of high school, I don't think I ever wore shoes. My friend wrecked my car, and I was in the car, and we had to walk barefoot from Decatur all the way back to Stone Mountain, you know. So it was barefoot all the time. I never even had shoes with me. I don't know, does anybody remember American Fair? It was a store. It was kind of before Super Walmart became a thing. It was Kmart's version of the Superstore, you know, and they had all the, it's pretty much the same thing as Walmart Superstore. Well, there was one in Stone Mountain, and me and my friends, you know, always barefoot, probably no shirt either, would go in to get our ramen noodles and hot dogs, because that was the only thing we pretty much ever bought for groceries. And I walked in there, got my stuff, got up to the counter, and the lady says, "You've got no shoes on. I can't check you out." I was like, "I still have to walk out the door either way. Can I give you my money and walk out with this stuff?" She says, "No, I can't check you out." I said, "Well, hold this right here." And I ran out to my car, and I had Burger King bags, you know, trash, you know, fast food trash in the car. I put them on my feet. I walked back in. She said, "Okay." She checked me out, and that was it. So, feet fitted with readiness. I mean, I was unprepared for most things in those days. I was unprepared to be, you know, without a car and walking through the streets of Decatur. And I was unprepared to walk into American Fair and buy my ramen noodles. I was unprepared for most everything in those days in my life because, I mean, I had no direction. I was not following the Lord. And so here, this, the armor of God is all about putting on the attributes of Christ. It's all about putting on the supernatural man, putting on the imperishable. You know, we've got nothing in our own power and our own strength. And so here this is, we're putting on the armor of God. So feet fitted with readiness. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you did send your son Jesus to take our place on the cross. And as Bo prayed and shared with us, Lord, we thank you for that work. We thank you that you redeemed us, and your blood was powerful enough to wash away every sin and to bring us back to you and to be reconciled to you. I thank you that you're at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. I pray that you would speak through these words today, Lord, that you would use me and that we would grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, we're looking at the third piece of the armor of God, the Christian's spiritual shoes. Feet fitted with readiness. And our passage is Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll do a little bit of review, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes," because it's coming and it's all around us, "you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." You know, thinking about shoes, you know, I'm working outdoors now. This has been different than before. I used to work in a shop. It was still good to have shoes that were, you know, protective and, you know, things like that, so that your back doesn't hurt and your feet don't hurt. But I think outdoors in the mud and things like that, the shoes even become more important about, you know, your grip and your traction and the things that you need to protect yourself. You can't just go out barefoot and go tromping through the mud and the woods and things like that. Now, again, when I was, a kid, 17, 18, 19 years old, I could run across gravel. You know, I was light as a feather. I can't do that now. I walk outside, just immediately step on gravel, and I'm wincing. You know, I've got to go back inside and get Crocs to take the trash out. You know, but you need to have your feet fitted with readiness if you're going to do anything productive in your life. And it's just that way. So here, the soldier's shoes is what Paul's relating us this to, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So this picture here, Paul's been painting this picture about the armor of God, and we can imagine that, you know, he's doing, Ephesians is written from him being imprisoned. He's in jail, and he's writing these things, so who knows, maybe he's chained to this Roman guard. You know, we can kind of picture that. At least he's probably spending a lot of time seeing Roman guards in prison. And so you can imagine he's writing this letter, maybe chained to this soldier. He's looking over at him. He becomes the example here now of spiritual defense, of protection against the enemy of our souls. You know, here the Roman Empire is the enemy of the Christian people. You know, here they are. They're in this Roman Empire is tyrannical towards the Christians. So here now, but though Paul has a completely different view of his circumstances, he's in jail. He should be pretty miserable. Oh, woe is me, I'm in jail, poor me, look at my difficulties. But no, he's got a different view of his circumstances than the average person would have, because his view was of the kingdom. His view is of heaven, and it doesn't matter that he's in prison. You know, so much of the time we get the wrong view, and we start to look at the situation we're in. We look at the erosion of society around us, and we say, oh man, look, it's awful. We used to have such a beautiful country, and look at what's happening to it. And, you know, and people get discouraged about this. But if our eyes are on heaven and our focus is on the kingdom, these things become less and less important because we have the right focus, just like Paul did. So it didn't matter that he was in prison. He sought to equip the saints and to encourage them to fight the good fight. That's where we need to be, to fight this good fight against the enemy of our souls. And so now his imagination, guided by the Holy Spirit, gives us this example now of the battle against our enemy. And something I think important to note in what Aaron spoke about recently, earlier on in this series, is that the pieces of armor, most all of them are defensive. They're defensive elements, with the exception of the sword of the Spirit. And you know, the main portion of our warfare, it isn't going out and, you know, making battle against the enemy and fighting and, you know, taking it to him. We're standing firm. We're keeping our ground. We're keeping what's been given to us. You know, the enemy of our souls, he seeks to steal that away from us. So if we're walking around barefoot, you know, we're going to lose ground quickly. So here now, readiness is a key word. We're instructed to be in a state of mind that's ready, that's prepared. And that comes, the readiness comes from the gospel of peace, the good news of Jesus Christ. He came, he lived, he showed us the way, he was crucified for our sins, he was raised from the dead, and on the third day he made complete restitution for sin, and giving anyone, absolutely anyone who calls on his name, the right to become children of God and inherit eternal life. And this gospel of Christ brings peace between God and humanity. It was a little bit of a, I was having a talk the other day, and you sometimes think about these just abhorrent sins that you see, you know, and people will bring up, well, you know, somebody like Hitler, well, how could God ever forgive, you know, and all these things, or, you know, the other awful things that people do to other humans and stuff like that. And we in our hearts don't have the ability to forgive that. And for the most part, we don't. We want to see vengeance. We want to see wrath, you know, but, you know, vengeance is mine. The wrath of God was satisfied on Jesus. All that wrath, all that hatred of sin, all that stuff that he could not bear to see was poured out on his own son. And so that there is forgiveness. There's no sin too big, no sin too great, no thing too awful that he can't forgive and he can't rescue and save. So here now, God brings about reconciliation between humanity and himself. So here now, if we take everything else in this verse, we can summarize it by saying that the readiness of spirit, the alacrity, that's one of my favorite words I like to use, the alacrity that comes from the possession of the gospel that brings darkness into light and brings us into peace with God, it's like these heavy spiked boots that the Roman soldiers and the legionnaires that they wore that protected them and allowed them to stand firm in whatever circumstance they found themselves in. So let's focus on the first part here. Let's focus on the gospel of peace. So I imagine probably Paul's remembering the words of Isaiah, you know, that said, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. Let me just take this minute to say thanks, Josh, for changing the bulb in the projector. Appreciate that, you know. It was getting so dim you couldn't even read things on the slides, and so, yeah, you can still sort of read it. I think maybe it's still a little faded out, but thanks for doing that. But yeah, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings and proclaim salvation. There's even more being said here in today's passage. So, you know, more than just our feet bringing good news, because the one power, the one thing that brings people into real peace is the gospel. The gospel's the message of peace. The gospel is that power that proclaims God is at peace with us through the work of Jesus Christ. We're no longer at odds with him. He's made peace through his son's blood on the cross. And Jesus Christ is our peace because his blood covers and washes away every sin from the root all the way up. You know, you think about sometimes if you've got like shrubs and bushes and things like that, mimosa trees or whatever, you know, they become a nuisance. And you can go out there and you can clip them down and you can cut them down. But unless you're getting that root out, it comes back. It springs back up. And so many times it comes back thicker than before. And that root system just develops now and it just grows. And unless you're taking that out and removing it from the root up, you know, it's going to come back. And so here, this is what the blood of Christ does. It eliminates sin at the foundation of it. It washes it away. And so when we rely on him, the gospel and that peace that he bought washes away sin. It takes away the discord that existed between humanity and God and replaces it with peace. Here's something else that's important about this statement is that as believers, the gospel brings us, well, it brings us peace, but it's the only thing that does. Nothing else is going to bring us peace in this world and in this life. It's the gospel that does this. And even more than just bringing us peace, it brings us this peace-bringing power. We're getting a picture here of soldiers being prepared for battle, defending themselves against attack of the enemy. And here, the antithesis to war itself is peace. It seems like two opposing thoughts here, you know, but they're not. We've got to stand firm in the gospel and know that it's the one thing. It's the one thing that every single person on this planet needs. Everything else really is secondary to the gospel. We need that. We need to be made at peace with our Creator. That's why. And he saw fit to send himself so that that could take place. And he took our place on the cross so that we could be forgiven. We've got to stand firm in the truth of the gospel. We have to know that that's the one thing. So preserving the peace of God that passes all understanding, we've got to be prepared at all times. Keep our feet fitted with readiness. The readiness that to maintain our position, to stand our ground. And here, this good news is we become friends of Jesus. He says here in John 15, you are my friends if you do what I command. You know, friends, this is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he's here saying, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That's an awesome promise. That's exciting. Whatever you ask, my Father will give you. I mean, do we believe this? Do we believe in the power of the gospel? I would say we need to believe it more, each and every one of us, because there's so much more that he has in store for us, that he wants to use us for. He's appointed us to bear fruit so that we'll bear fruit and fruit that will last, eternal fruit. So here now, peace, you know, in the same way it happens in sometimes in warfare, it's peace by superior power, superior firepower. You know, that's what brings the annihilation of the enemy. There's no way you can fight against that superior power. The day of evil doesn't stand a chance against the people who stand their ground. That we've got victory in the blood of Christ. We have victory in Jesus. He's our Savior forever, you know. We're friends of the bridegroom. If the Lord's for us, who's going to be against us? Who can be against you when the Lord's for you? It's good news that God's made a provision for us to be able to stand our ground. So here, the feet are to the body what the will is to the soul. The feet, they cause the body to stand in place, to move around, the same way that our will decides the activities of our soul. Our will is going to govern what we do. Our will must be regulated by the peace of the gospel. Otherwise, it's going to be governed by the plans of the enemy. So our feet are the will of our body. You know, so we hear the activities of our soul, they're made right, they're brought into peace by the gospel. And that's the instrument that God uses. That's the way that he affects change within us. It's this gospel, this good news. It's what he uses to reconcile us to himself, and what he instructs to carry with us as we go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I've had so many great opportunities lately that I've never had before. I'll be honest with you, I've always been timid about sharing my faith and about, you know, sharing the gospel and things like that. But something's happened. The Lord's given me a lot more boldness. So I had an opportunity. I was meeting with a sales guy. We were supposed to be meeting and talking about a piece of equipment, but I'm not really ready to buy a piece of equipment yet. But this guy's like, hey, let's meet, let's have lunch. I said, let's do it. So we met, we had lunch, and we wound up talking about the Lord, talking about the gospel for like 2.5 hours, and pretty much never got around to talking about equipment or anything at all. And it was really exciting, it was really fun. And I was so just thrilled to be used by the Lord to then be able to have my testimony and what he's done in my life to hopefully be effective and plant a seed in this gentleman's life. And it was so much fun. And I felt like, this is it. I'm about the business of my Father in heaven. You know, so much I feel like I need to be about the business of making money and paying the bills, but we're just, you know, having a good time talking about the Lord. And I'll tell you, it was really something special, and it's something that I've kind of always wished and hoped. You know, I'd like to be in this place where I really can minister the gospel, but don't know enough about the scripture. I don't know, you know, all these things. But now I'll tell you, the Lord's just kind of opening up my mouth, and I think that's it. If we put ourselves in that place of willingness and saying, okay, I'm willing to go, use me, and give me the words in this situation, he's going to do it. You know, even if you feel like, I can't remember, you know, how to finish a sentence half the time, you know, he can do it and he can use us. And so anyway, I just want to encourage you with that. So yes, the activities of our soul, they're made right. They're brought into peace by the gospel. That's the instrument that God uses. It's how he reconciles us to himself. So our feet fitted with readiness that come from the gospel of peace means that we submit ourselves to the will of the Father. Our feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace means that we're going to resist the will of our flesh, the will of the enemy, and allow God to reign in our lives. Just like our feet need to be properly protected to walk, to, you know, in difficult terrain, our will needs to be protected by the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know, just another thing, I guess, a little story about a lack of readiness, and just let this be a lesson to you. Right now, I'm covered in poison ivy on my legs mostly, but a lot on the rest of my body. So Isaac and I were out, and it was late at night. It was about midnight, and I was going to have to leave out early the next morning. We hear a tree crash really close to where we were at, and he says, well, I'm going to go find out where it's at. And I thought, man, it just fell in the woods, you know. You're never going to find it. I'm going to bed. So I went in, you know, getting into bed, and then he calls. He says, I found the tree. It's right here. It's kind of laying halfway across the road. It's not blocking it all the way. You could still get around it. But I'm going to go out there with my, you know, with my hatchet, and I'm going to start chopping it up and moving it. And I thought, oh, he's chopping a tree with a hatchet out here in the dark in the road. I better go. So I just like slid on some Western-style work boots, you know, with no socks, and I had shorts on. I did put a shirt on. So I walk out there, and I grab my chainsaw to go out there and start cutting this tree. So we got a headlamp, and he's got his headlights from the car, and I'm sawing this tree up, and we're tossing it off the road, and we're good Samaritans, right? Clearing this road so that somebody going to work in the morning doesn't have to be like, oh, there's a tree in the road. They could actually go. Maybe they would have had a nice day off. Who knows? Anyway, So we didn't think too much of it. It was great. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was a nice, peaceful night. The moon was bright, and I thought, wow, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this time with my son. So as days went on, I started becoming more and more itchy, more and more bothered. And next thing I know, my feet look as red as your shirt, Leah. I mean, not my feet, my legs and stuff. You know, I was not ready for this. And I didn't realize that this thing was covered in poison ivy. Mandy went by later. You could see the tree still on the roadside there. But all this ivy that was growing on it was leaves of three, you know, leave it be. So anyway, evidently my dull chainsaw and all that powder funneling into those open top boots, you know, really did a number on me. So again, wasn't ready, you know, wasn't prepared. I don't usually saw wood in shorts and no socks and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, and I'm paying the consequences for that. And it's been a little bit of an aggravation, to be honest with you. I've never had this before. All right, but still, putting on the full armor of God, it's about being ready. It's about being prepared. It's about not allowing now, you know, the effects of the enemy to come against you. So here, the gospel, it does require some things from us. You know, if we're going to allow the gospel to regulate the way that we live our lives, our activities, you know, then it requires us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross daily, and to follow Christ's example of obedience to the Father. I mean, at this time, you know, he says, if there's any other way that this can happen, please let this pass. But I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to obey you. And that's where we need to be as well, willing to follow his direction, because our eyes are focused on something bigger. It isn't about this world. It isn't about this life. It isn't about what we can accomplish here. It's about creating, we're investing, or we're actually taking and producing a return for the investment he's put in us. But we're investing in the kingdom, something of eternal value that can never be taken away. It can never be stolen. It can never perish, fail. It's not going to become less. You're not going to look at the kingdom of heaven and say, oh, man, it used to be this really great thing, and now look how it's eroded away. It doesn't. It's forever. It's eternal. And he's gone to make a place for us in heaven. He loves us. And it's amazing to me to think about that, that there is that much love. And when you do begin to think about all of the sin around us, and, you know, if we ever become introspective enough to see how disgusting our sin is to him, and the fact that he still loves us, he still wants us, his goal is still to have us reconciled to him. So these shoes of readiness, they give us what we need to resist the will of our flesh, the will of the enemy, and allow God's will to reign in our lives. All right, so these temptations that will come against us that we're defending against, so many times they're surprise attacks or a sucker punch from the enemy. You know, you might feel like you're prepared and ready, but next thing you know, in the 80s, it was cool to have a boombox, and I always wanted one. I'll tell you what, there was nothing at that point in my life that I wanted more than a big boombox to be able to walk around and listen to 38 Special or some other kind of nonsense. But I wanted a boombox, you know? So we were at the beach one time, and this is some, every once in a while, like Thanksgiving or maybe Easter break from school, things like that. The dorm, we lived in boarding school, would go to the beach. So here we are in the 80s. My friend Johnny Miller, he had a nice boombox, man. They always had the good stuff, you know. It was a loud one, a big one, and it was rocking. So we're on the beach, walking down there, a group of friends in Ecuador at night, and he's blaring something, probably 38 Special. That's why I said that, because that was like what he always liked to play. And so a couple of guys, they come out from nowhere, out of the bushes or the weeds or something, and they attack Johnny. They've got knives. They run up to him. They took the boombox. It was a surprise attack. Nobody was ready for it. Nobody was prepared for it. The boombox was lost, and we could hear it playing off into the distance as it ran away. And that was the end of the rockin' 80s boombox on the beach. We weren't prepared. It was a sucker punch, you know. Had we been prepared, if Johnny had been packing a 9mm or something, he could have intimidated these guys. Maybe he could have kept it. But, you know, that's not the story. The story is the attack of the enemy comes against us when we're not ready. And he's going to steal away something that is special to us. But something that's precious to us is that peace of the gospel. But if we're committing ourselves to the Lord, if we're devoting ourselves to him and putting our confidence in him and trusting him, that can't be stolen away. That's why we've got to defend it. We've got to stand our ground. It says, stand your ground. Stand firm. You know, a lot of this talks about keeping your position. Don't let yourself be backed up. Don't let yourself be pushed away. they're lost. You know, battles are lost or won by being prepared or not being prepared. And the world, it calls us to maintain a position of readiness, to defend against the attack of the enemy, defend what we have. The same thing that happened to us on the beach happens to us as Christians regularly. The enemy comes, he tries to steal what we have, and he doesn't warn us he's coming. And here, going back to this spiritual picture that Paul's painting, in this example of the armor, we've got to be standing on solid ground, not on a slippery slope or in the mud, but having a firm footing. Jesus is our rock. It talks about that we stand on a firm foundation. He's our rock, and it's where we find our spiritual footing. The gospel of peace is the solid rock that our boots are going to give us a firm grip on. That service is going to make us ready to withstand the attacks of the enemy. And I'm telling you, the unexpected is going to happen to you every single day. And you know that. It does. And when you're not ready, and sometimes when you are ready, and sometimes you just say, I don't care. I'm going to go ahead and submit to the will of the flesh right now. And we've got to be strong. We've got to stand our ground. We've got to be reminded to put on the full armor of God and not allow ourselves to be tempted by the things that are temporary, that pull us away and think, oh, this temporary sin is going to bring me peace for the moment. It's not. It's going to open up a door that the enemy can then, continue the attack. So take on Christ. Clothe ourselves in his righteousness, because our own righteousness is like filthy rags. We can't clothe ourselves in righteousness. Oh, I've, whatever it is, it's irrelevant. We need to allow the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's the plan of the gospel, the plan that God designed for us and how he wants us to preserve ourselves until the day of his return. He is looking for a bride. He's excited to come back and receive us into glory forever to be with him. And, I really that's something I want more of. I want more of an understanding and a knowledge of who he is and his glory and his goodness and his magnificence. And I pray for each one of us that we would have that too, that eternity would be something that we think about the first thing every day. What can I do today to affect eternity in my life? And what do you have for me today, Lord? Give me words of wisdom. Give me words of knowledge. Give me Holy Spirit power to be able to be effective in this world, to be salt and light, to carry the gospel, because you've called us to a great work and you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. So all this, it's an amazing thing. It's beautiful. And he's appointed us to bear fruit. And, here I can just start rambling. And this is the thing too, when we get excited about the gospel, I think it's contagious when people are, when you're talking to them, and we want that to be contagious. You think about contagions, most of the time you think about it's not something you want, but viruses and things like that, they've made a good way of proliferating themselves throughout. You saw what COVID did throughout the entire of society. Well, I don't know. Gospel is a good thing, but it needs to spread in that same kind of way, that it can't be contained. You can't stop it. You can't vaccine against it. You can't annihilate it, because it's going to go. And when the church gets excited about the power of God, people are going to be transformed for the good, for eternity, for eternal life. So he wants us to abide in him. He's the source of our peace. All of these elements of the armor of God are attributes of Christ. We're to put on Christ, abide in him. He's the source. It means that readiness, that our passages here, it instructs us to have our feet fit with readiness. That'll keep us from being overwhelmed by a sudden rush of unexpected temptation. That readiness. And if Johnny had been ready with defense for his boombox, he might have been able to keep it. But alas, it was gone. Are there temptations that you regularly give into? Do you allow the devil to have a foothold in your life? I want to encourage you. We have victory in Jesus. We have victory in him. Because when we give in to the enemy, when we let him have a foothold, he just comes and starts accusing. The enemy does. Oh, you're such an awful person. It drives a wedge between us and the Lord. And, as Craig was talking about at the graduation ceremony last night, we begin to have a wall between us and the Lord. And Jesus and his blood has eliminated that wall. We can come boldly into his presence. And this gospel of peace is that. So how do you go about putting on these shoes? What do you do to put on these shoes that we're commanded to put on. It's really very simple. And it's something that we can, each and every one of us can do it. But it's a sad truth sometimes that we don't. We sometimes just say, you know what? I'm going to get up, I'm going to drink my coffee, I'm going to run off into my world and, you know, hope for the best. But here's how. This gospel that brings peace, this peace that brings readiness, the way to be prepared for whatever is going to come your way is to soak your mind and your heart in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to allow His peace to reign in your life. It's the most important thing we can do. It's the most important thing we can do in this life, to know Him, to draw near to Him, to grow in faith and companionship with Him. And then that's why we're created. We were created to know Him. And He created us for His good pleasure. And so the only way that we can do this is to abide in Him, to spend time with Him. Abiding in Him means that we're in constant contact with Him. We're going to, you know, find a way to continually pray without ceasing, to know His Word, for Him to be the first and foremost thing on our minds. I want to encourage you in that be your daily thing, not as a duty. You know, we think sometimes as, you know, devotions as this duty I've got to do. Oh, if I can just get this out of the way, then I can get on to, you know, what my schedule has and all these things. I'm so busy, I ain't got time for this. You know, if we watched Bible Man, you know, there's a it's so cheesy, but it's really funny. And there's a villain in there, and he's putting out all these poisonous advertisements, and the kids are watching the advertisements for Yuck Bars. You know, and it's kind of that same sort of thing as the enemy's bringing us all this, you know, we're disgusted with good things, and so Yuck Bars, and so it's making this kid rebellious and very ugly towards his mother. So his mother's like, hey, Jimmy, it's time to come down for supper. And Jimmy's like, I'm busy right now. You know, so it's kind of funny. I always thought that was, I mean, not that it's funny that he's doing that, but we still say that. I'm busy right now. But that's what we do sometimes with the Lord. I'm busy right now. I don't have time to spend with you. I don't have time to come into your presence. I don't have time to read your word. I don't want to because I've got all these other things. I've got the Yuck Bar that I want to eat instead, you know, that I've got to go on to. So where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. So we need to abide in Him. Submit to the gospel. Be transformed from what's perishable into what is imperishable. The gospel of peace, it makes us ready. It gives us a firm footing. And the temptations of the enemy are not so appealing whenever our will is submitted to the will of Christ. Let's have the worship team come up. And let's get ready to just spend some time worshiping Him. And I know at the end of our service, we always want to pray together. We always want to spend some time drawing near to Him, being, you know, ministers of Christ to one another. And, you know, I think there's a challenge for me in this, you know, of standing our ground, to stand and stand firm, and to make sure that we have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so what I want to do is, as we close this sermon, I'd like for us to gather into groups of three or four, and let's pray this over one another. So each one of us, let's pray that the Lord would cause us to stand our ground, to stand firm, that He would cause us to be a people that are ready, that know the gospel, and that we would have a real revelation of the gospel in our lives. So we'll gather into groups of three or four, pray that for one another, encourage one another in the faith, and then we'll go about our day, and hopefully everyone will be blessing their mothers today. So let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this opportunity to be in Your Word. I thank You that You've given us this example of how we can put on the armor, defend ourselves against the enemy in the day of evil. But we want to be ready. We don't want to be found unready and barefoot and unable to stand our ground. So, Lord, I ask that You would use this time of prayer as we gather into groups of three or four. Lord, that You would use us to encourage one another. Lord, that we would build up each other in our faith. And, Lord, that we would be encouraged to stand firm and be ready in season and out. In Jesus' name, amen. Gather up in groups of three or four and pray for one another.